I'm Emma.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like Netflix, Lindsay Lohan vehicles.
If you're listening today, you're already a paid subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text. Thank you, as always, for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
We're here today because we watched Lohan's new Netflix flick, Irish Wish, and it unsettled us right to our very cores.
I frankly may never recover. I'm shaken. I'm questioning the meaning of humanity. I'm questioning the costumers of this film. Yeah. So many things. But today, we needed to bring in an extra guest to really help us unpack the depths of this great film. We are joined today by Nora McInerney, author, podcaster, you may have heard of a little show called Terrible Thanks for Asking, and creator of the She Tried Substack. Nora, we are so happy to have you.
Thank you. I am, as my name suggests, also an Irish American.
This was your representation, I guess.
You really tipped the balance. We're now more than 50% Irish American on this podcast.
I'm going to defer to the cultural specificity you and your people can bring.
Thank you.
I want to say, did anyone find it hard to say Irish Wish? Irish
Wish. It's a bit of a tongue twister.
It's kind of like American Riviera Orchard. There's too many R's.
Rural juror.
It's rural juror energy for sure. It's a lot.
Yeah, the two sh and the R and the W. It rhymes.
It does look good stacked, right? Like Irish Wish. There's a good symmetry to it when it's written. When it's spoken, it sounds so gross.
Yeah, they were like, no one's going to be talking about this. They're just going to be seeing it on their Netflix queue.
Yeah, they did not write this title for talking.
No, I also just...
This is a visual medium.
I love the idea that it's just a wish that's Irish. Like, it's the Irish wish because she's in Ireland and therefore the wish itself is Irish. So let's get into the background of this movie a little bit. As we all know, it's called Irish Wish. Yeah, not great. It's a Netflix rom-com, even though it's not funny or romantic, which is quite a feat. It dropped on March 15th. It is Lindsay Lohan's second movie in her deal with Netflix. Her first, of course, being Falling for Christmas, which we did cover on this podcast. And
you can go back rom-com.
And check that out.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's a classic genre, right? Like 50 First Dates.
Yes. You know? We love a head injury.
Yeah, we love a head injury.
We love a woman with a head injury.
We don't want a woman who can like remember things. That's a problem for
us. Why would we want that?
Yeah, there's too many.
We don't need women being like clever and thinking too hard. none of that. Vulture's Rachel Handler described this movie as a quote, crypto-fascist, AI-generated harbinger of doom. So that's really the vibe that we're working with here.
Yeah, that review, I think, really launched this movie into another stratosphere, especially in the kind of circle that we're in where people are reading vulture reviews of things. It's very good.
It's very good, and it should have deterred me from watching this movie, and instead I was like, wow, now I definitely
need to
watch.
It had the opposite effect.
It had the opposite effect on someone like me. But it really has that vibe of a Hallmark movie. And it makes sense because basically everyone involved in creating this film has a professional history of creating made-for-TV Christmas movies. Irish Wish was directed by Janine Damian, who has previously produced films like Falling for Christmas, the other Lindsay Lohan movie, Much Ado About Christmas, Paris Christmas Waltz.
I'm sorry. That's not a title. That's just like three words. Three words.
That's just three words that are unrelated.
Have you guys not done the Paris Christmas Waltz? Or
are
you unfamiliar with?
Is it like the Irish jig? It is embarrassing. She also produced Marley and Me, not the first one, colon, The Puppy Years. So
important installment.
You can just understand a lot from that breath of work. The screenplay was written by Canadian writer-producer Kirsten Hansen, whose previous credits include Cross Country Christmas, Christmas on My Mind, and Return to Christmas Creek.
Oh, sure.
Christmas Creek.
Important classic.
obviously, as we all know, Janine's husband, who is Young and the Restless actor Michael Damian, produced Irish Wish. Lindsay Lohan is also an executive producer. So we have the soap opera background.
Yeah.
We have a lot of made for TV Christmas movie background. That's, I'd say, the dominant, the dominant expertise here.
The movie stars Lindsay Lohan, of course, Ed Spilliers, you may remember him from You.
Impactful character last season.
Alexander Vlahos, Aisha Curry.
Sort of.
Elizabeth Tan. Aisha Curry is in it. Like, is she really playing she's a there, character? That's present. More controversial.
She's playing she's Aisha on camera. Curry, I'd say.
Elizabeth Tan and Jane Seymour round out the main cast. Jane Seymour is in the movie, but she's not like in the movie in the sense of ever appearing in a shot with anyone else who's in the movie.
No, she was like, I will be in this movie, but I will be filming my own movie.
She's in a separate one woman show.
iPhone only.
Yeah. She's like, I will show up in a school and I will be on a FaceTime. Screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
She's like, I've always wanted to be in a movie where I'm just on FaceTime in every scene holding up a phone. Like, I mean, I'm in like an Android commercial.
This was a great, great payday for her. You know, she shot those scenes in like 5 hours in and out one day.
They probably saved budget for her by just casting all of Lindsay Lohan's friends and family in every other role. They were like, we need to be able to pay Jane. So let's talk about the premise, the basic premise of this movie, just to give everyone kind of a grounding before we dive into the details.
So I'm so impressed that you found a premise.
Oh, there's – listen, I have many sentences describing what I think the premise is.
What I think happened.
It starts to just verge on summary because I don't – it's hard to find a through line.
It's hard. It's hard.
The central character, of course, is played by Lindsay Lohan. This woman's name is Maddie. She is a brilliant book editor with a devastating crush on her handsome, successful author, Paul Kennedy, played by Alexander Vlahos. She apparently only edits one person's books, and he writes about one book every 3 years. Generously. Unfortunately, Paul Kennedy falls in love with her best friend Emma, played by Elizabeth Tan, and soon Maddie is whisking off to Ireland for her BFF's whirlwind wedding to the man of her dreams. Shortly before the wedding, she runs into sort of an impish, mystical woman in the Irish countryside. We later learn this is St. Bridget, allegedly, who urges her to make a wish, and Maddie wishes that she was marrying Paul Kennedy. She wakes up to discover that she is marrying Paul Kennedy, and she seems actually really upset about it. But she does begin to feel a spark with someone else, a handsome nature photographer called James Thomas, who is played by Ed Spilliers. He agrees to photograph the wedding last minute. Meanwhile, Paul Kennedy and Emma have begun an emotional affair within hours of embarking on this new timeline in which he's marrying Maddie. It all comes together with Maddie learning just a big old lesson about romance and finding love. Because this is, of course, a rom-com somewhere deep down.
Allegedly.
A rom-com with zero chemistry.
Zero sexual tension.
Yeah. No chemistry whatsoever. And not one even half giggle. Not one.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot, but I don't think it's when they wanted me to.
I laughed too. I laughed at like, wow, I can't believe that this dialogue was written on a page.
Yeah, but we hit a patch of dialogue about 30 seconds in that 100%. I had to stop the movie. And I was like, no, I can't.
So the beauty here is really in the details. I think we need to spend most of this podcast talking about the plot. But first, what is the vibe?
Like, we've talked about the Hallmark element, but there's so much more going on here that I wanted to briefly discuss because there's just something kind of trippy about this movie. Like, I watched it the first time Friday night. I was tired, long day with the kids, you know, had half a margarita. And I woke up and I was like, did I watch that movie or did I dream it? It's like a fever dream created by AI.
I'd say that the plot is about as cohesive as the plot of a dream of yours, where events happen in an order. They allegedly correspond, but who can say?
The visuals are like life-size Irish Candyland. Like, everything is very, like, saturated and bubblegum.
Yeah.
It was
it
shot
like
on
a
location.
Cheap commercial, which is strange. Like, opening parts that were in New York were, like, you know, the big shots of, like, city, you know.
Stock image.
I have a lot of thoughts. About New York.
B-roll, highly saturated B-roll. And I think, to me, immediately my disbelief was suspended the minute you realized they're at a red carpet opening.
Oh, my God.
For a book.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Paparazzi. I truly couldn't. The understanding level that they have of publishing is, like, in the basement. We have to, okay, let's begin.
Of publishing, of love.
Of publishing, of love, of Irish
basic
literature.
Human Ireland, of New York City, of human interaction.
So the movie begins with a definition. They clearly just like Googled this and took it off Google because I Googled wish definition and this is exactly what it said.
Was it Oxford or Merriam-Webster?
It's from Oxford. So, you know, they went with the classics. Yeah. The dictionary defines wish as to want something that cannot or probably will not happen. But what if it does?
What if? Oh my God, I'm already trembling with anticipation.
It's narrated
also, does
by
the
Saint
dictionary
Bridget.
Say what if it does?
No, that's just voiced over okay. by our lively Irish narrator who is Saint Bridget. We haven't met her yet, but the voice appears to be hers because she's just like overseeing all of this. She's like, what if it does? Mm-hmm. There is a flash of CGI blue light and the title Irish Wish zooms out of it. This was made in like the most basic ass video editing software you had in like 2003. I was like, I'm editing my PowerPoint presentation for my computer science class at my middle school
right now. I
was like, right
appear. Now. And then also, boom. Yeah. How fast? 2 seconds. Yeah.
Medium.
Medium fast. And then you looked at it and you were like, damn.
Someone had a lot of fun with the text overlay graphics and they are not cohesive at all. Now we're in Midtown Manhattan. Actually, wait, no. We're in Washington Square Park. Actually, the Meatpacking District? I don't know. They
we're
have like
everywhere,
a lot
baby.
Of, a lot of stock video footage of the city.
Yeah, but New York. Guys, I did discover doing a deep dive on the screenwriter that I believe her first ever visit to New York City was the premiere of Irish Wish. But per her Instagram, she's like, but I've set so many movies in New York. And I was like, that is the problem.
Yeah. Concrete jungle, where dreams are made of.
Yeah. She's like, you know, all couples do their traditional photo shoot in Times Square, like real New Yorkers, and then go to lavish book launches for authors.
First of all, if you've ever been to a book launch,
that's the glamour.
It's like there's a step and repeat. There's always paparazzi.
Paparazzi
are awaiting, and then all of that to read your book to 10 people.
Yeah. You know what it actually reminded me of was the National Book Awards. Like, I actually used to cover books in New York. Yeah. There is a step and repeat at the National Book Awards. I've been to many book launches. I have yet to see paparazzi at a book launch in my day.
Yeah. No, even a popular one.
Even a popular one.
Yeah. Like, maybe you'd get a book party that someone would have purchased. Yeah. Photo booth. Just, but
or like a lunch. But they had to have a whole big setup because later Paul is going to read his entire novel to everyone who came. But more on that later. Lindsay emerges from a taxi in a scarf and a sort of basic black dress that you might buy for your first
2011,
office job.
Baby. The entire outfit, I was like, every outfit she wore.
Yeah,
I was like,
this is her silhouette.
Circa 2011 to 2014, truly.
It's like swingy little pleated skirt, scoop neck, little cap sleeves, like cinched waist, very basic, like office dress.
Cardigan over it.
Cardigan. And she's wearing a scarf. Yes. The scarf gets caught in the door of the taxi and dragged away. This is how Isadora Duncan died. And it was very upsetting to see her almost meet that same fate. But Lindsay is fine.
She spins like a top. She twirls.
Like a top.
It didn't strangle or behead her. Yeah. Simply.
That's what happens if you're wearing a scarf around your neck and a car drives away with it. You just spin around like a top.
Yeah.
She briefly is like, no, stop my scarf. Anyway, time to go inside. She locks eyes with a handsome bearded man emerging from a luxury sports car with like those sci-fi doors that are like, and then they open upwards. This is an author, naturally.
Obviously. I looked at him and I was like, well, the classic author vibe. Yeah.
How many bestsellers do you have to write to buy a Maserati?
There have got to be like three authors in the world who can
do that. Colleen Hoover was on Instagram or TikTok being like, wow, I hit it big and I bought my mom a Mazda. You know, like it's.
Well, but she didn't show you the Maserati she bought for herself.
She didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
She doesn't want you to know.
Well, she's saving those for her next book launch.
They take a photo together on the step and repeat. And we learn that he's a best-selling author, Paul Kennedy, and she's his editor, Madeline Kelly. She is also obviously in love with him. And he seems to be vibing with her as well. He's gazing into her eyes. He's like, I have something important to tell you inside. And then he winks at her when a journalist asks him if there's a real special lady who inspires his work. Yes, these are all things that, you know, conversations that you have when you're like a celebrity journalist outside a red carpet event.
A red carpet reporter. Yeah. Like, is there a real special lady?
There's no way you're going to
ask the hard-hitting questions.
You couldn't write a romance novel without a real woman in your life. Tell us who it is.
Then Lindsay slash Maddie gets a FaceTime call. It's her mom, Jane Seymour. So obviously she answers this FaceTime while she is at a major work event. And she remains on FaceTime with her mom on speakerphone while she goes to a public bathroom at an event for Paul Kennedy and has a long, loud conversation about how she hasn't told Paul Kennedy yet that she's in love with him. And even her best friends don't know. She's like, I hope you haven't told anybody about my feelings for Paul Kennedy, Mom.
Listened to a free preview of this week's Rich Text podcast. If you like what you heard and you want to listen to the rest of this week's podcast and our entire Rich Text back catalog, you can become a paying subscriber at clarendemma.substack.com.
If not, you can still enjoy our free weekly recommendations.
Rich Text is hosted, produced, and edited by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray.
You can find the written version of Rich Text at clarendemma.substack.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod, and you can find our other podcast, Love to See It, over at Stitcher and wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on TikTok and Twitter at Love to See It Pod.
You can also find us individually at Claire E. Fallon and at Emma Lady Rose.
Thanks for listening.